jump up, let's get crazy. Jump up, let's get crazy. Welcome to the Round 13 Supercoach Coach Podcast. I'm joined again by FB Donkey.
G'day, everyone. Woohoo, number one league.
Yeah, we're the number one league mark and number three as well. And I think we got three more in the top 20. So we're sitting very pretty, Mark. But of course, we all know what that means. If we're doing well, this well after 2 weeks, that means that we're probably taking a hit as a community in the third week. And to be honest, based on our advice, Mark, and, you know, only recently suggesting Swanee's a must-have to come into your team before you pushed out those two 140s, it's greatly contributed to our rankings the last 2 weeks, but it's going to hurt this week. So it'll be very interesting to see where exactly everyone lands after round 13.
It really will be, mate. I've jumped 1,000 spots over the first two bye rounds, hoping for a little bit bigger jump this week. But I guess if I drop another 300 spots this week, it's not too bad. But if I drop all the way back down, probably wouldn't have been worth it.
I'm sitting at 86th, Mark, so I'm back in the top 100.
That's the place we like to be, mate.
Yeah, and I've got actually 19 on field with a backup for my 19th this week, Mark. But we know that there's doubts on Jimmy Bartel one.
Oh, no.
Yep. Cameron Hitchcock may not get up, which a few people probably bought him last week. Mm. Papa Roan, who I never needed, I might actually need as cover for Hitchcock, and it doesn't look like he'll show. And then we've got Thurlow, Mark. It'll be interesting to see how the Geelong lineup looks when teams drop tomorrow.
Some players coming back.
Mm. So you would think that Thurlow would be one of those cats a bit under threat. I think Taylor Hunt's back in, but I mean, if Bartel's out, hopefully that'll ease. So hopefully if Bartel's out, at least Thurlow's in, Mark. It'll hurt if both are out from the one line.
Very much so, mate. Yeah, Jimmy's been such a wonder this year and such a huge advantage for those that have had him. I guess that anybody that doesn't will be cheering on that he's not going to be there. And after going to the US for, apparently he's been training, he's back from the US, he's been training, and he would be ready to go, but they said he's 50-50 today, which means probably unlikely, and that it's part of a rest management, and that he'll be better in the second half of the year as a result.
We got some huge A-grade pedigree scores from our World Gold Premiums. Ablett, 147, Pendlebury, 145, Swan, 149, and Dangerfield, 150.
Whoa.
Those are some huge scores from, you know, we talk about the highest scoring players, and they're probably four of the highest, and they all pumped out the big scores this week.
And it seemed to have like a real big difference between my top and my bottom this week, because had Need and Rowe and Staker and Laird, and you would have had a Hitchcock, and luckily we had a couple extra players because we missed a couple of those scores. But yeah, the difference between the top line and the bottom was just massive this week.
Team sheets haven't dropped yet, and of course you've got cricket tomorrow night, so we're recording tonight. But we're in probably week three of our three-week plan, so there's really not too much to talk about. I mean, there's a bit of premium selection advice, I guess. But
we've got a few situations that we'll go through for different people, because hopefully we can learn a bit from them.
Mm.
Now, before we do, mate, could you want to just go through the trades that you made last week and how you feel about that?
Yeah, so last week I only ended up doing two trades, Mark. So that's
me too.
The first time since round three, and only the third time this year that I haven't used the maximum available amount of trades for the round. So, surprising. I did a mirror down to Birchall in the back line. So, Birch did all right with 105 for his first game. But, of course, O'Meara did equally as well. So, it was sad to see him go, but he's got the bye this week. So, had to see the back of him. And I also trade Crouchy out. He was an out, obviously, didn't make the 22 this week. So Hitchcock came in. And Mark, in hindsight, that was like how many weeks of waiting for 30K?
You went Hitchcock last week. Do you almost wish you had have got Martin in instead and just copped the extra donut this week?
Yeah, well, I was assuming that Hitchcock would be all right. I'd always back Hitchcock for two games over Martin for one, even though Martin's scoring is obviously a lot higher than Hitchcock. Like, at the end of the day, they're both still rookies, so
I think Martin might be a bit more important in the second half of the year. And Hitchcock, just to get injured it's so early in the game, very, very frustrating. For those that brought him in. Now, I did Barlow to O'Meara. And oh, sorry, Amiro
Amir as well.
DiBALO.
Yep.
Yeah, obviously. DiBALO 115 to start. He looked pretty good. Pretty happy with that trade so far. And the other one I did was I was going to do Dwyer to Hitchcock as well. And just got cold feet at the last minute for some reason. And the fact that Dwyer was playing as well. So that kind of worked out, I guess. And I ended up doing Josh Kennedy to Stevie J a week early. So well and truly on the Stevie J train now, mate. Now for round 13. I guess the first question and the question on most people's lips is how many trades should we be aiming to have left after the buys? In a bit of a brag post, Ben says, I have a complete side and 8 left after this week, ranked 78.
That's pretty nice, Mark. I think that's probably better starts than me. I'm 86th. I'll have 5 trades after this week with Vlostin on field. So I'm thinking Vlostin to Hanley eventually. So probably 4 with my complete side. But my complete side includes 1 extra player as a swingman. So that's either Cruiser or Pretis, depending on each week. I think they're the likely 2 weaker scorers on my team, but I have 1 extra player with the 4 trades left, so.
I will have 8 trades after this week, and depending on if I do a sideways, I might have 9. Complete a team with Goods and Boston on the ground. So that probably seems. I don't think there'd be too many teams with that much more than that, I don't think. And look, if you're going for league wins, you probably want to try and hold on to that extra trade or two here and there. But if you're going for overall, then I think most people just keep trade until there's not any left.
Now, Andrew asks Mark, is it worth considering non-playing players for the emergency loophole on the run home?
Well, you've got one now with Hitchcock.
Yeah, I think that's exactly the point, Mark. It's just that you're going to get players get injured and you don't want to be intentionally bringing in injured players. And I think that we've seen one of the Supercoach communities this year took on intentionally a non-playing player, Mark. And I think in hindsight, that probably didn't work out quite as well just because, you know, we saw how many injuries you get anyway. And
And Curry didn't end up playing, so you could have just used him or and it sort of limited cash generation as well because you didn't have that extra rookie earning your money. So yeah, that's a no for me. You're going to need your deep bench. I mean, remember only 4 or 5 weeks ago all that backline carnage we had. If you had a non-playing player that you'd brought in intentionally on your backline, that would just have not gone down very well as well because it would have been Donut City.
Now, Mark, this is a relevant question for you from Hans. Would you classify Vlastrin and Goods as keepers in the back line?
Yes, they are in my team. They are on the ground, and they are probably going to stay that way. I think that if I was going to trade one, it would probably be Vlosten, mainly because I feel like he's sort of gone on a bit of a sick run, which is why his price is so high. Whether he can keep that up or not, it would be interesting. And because he's a first-year player, he might just fade a little bit. But I mean, Goods is old enough to deal with it, and should be able to play out the season, no worries. And nobody will tag Goodsy, so. That means he should be at average 90 plus, and I'd be pretty happy with that, to be honest.
I'd say they're keepers, except for the fact that, you know, we talk about keeping yourself open for trading in the right players at the right time. Well, Vlosten and Goods are pretty much just perfect candidates for that. So, yeah, keep until, you know, you don't have a player like, let's say, Brendan Goddard or Heath Shaw that are in the top, you know, 3 defenders that could really prove to be a point of difference scoring wise for your team, then if they ever put in a poor game, you can take the opportunity to just do a quick side swap and hope to run a premium home that's scoring a little bit better for the remaining rounds. But apart from that,
It's a little bit tricky with the buyers, but I think that Fosstone to Gibbs is a pretty decent trade if you can swing it next week. Just because Gibbs has, he's going to be playing as a midfielder basically and has that higher ceiling than perhaps a lot of the other defenders does, which makes the upgrade. Like if Fosstone averages 91, which is probably on the high end, and Gibbs averages 105 plus, then it's actually a decent upgrade for about 100,000.
should we also, Mark, be looking at trying to bring in a good spread of the top 5 teams? So that's probably Hawthorn, Sydney, Geelong, Essendon, and Fremantle this year. Should you really be looking to get 1 or 2 players from each one of these 5 teams on the run home to ensure you get a good spread for the last 11 rounds?
Yeah, I think that's probably right, mate. And I didn't have any Freo players in my side, which is why I went for Barlow last week. I might have held off a week and gone for Kerrin Jack this week otherwise. But given Freo's draw, I don't want to have none of their players in my team. So yeah, I pretty much agree with that.
That's something I really learned from in the past, Mark, when I noticed I'd charge up the rankings and then I'd target too many players that that are doing well on form but that are in the same teams, and then just realized that I couldn't get the spread of points on the way home because they were just playing off against each other way too often. So definitely something to keep an eye out on. Now, captain thoughts this week, Mark. I think you got to consider Geelong against Brisbane.
CBJ, you thinking?
Yeah.
What night do they play on, Matt? Yeah.
Sunday night, so that's probably...
So that would be the backup option. I'm not sure that Stevie J has a consistency for him to be a reserve player, do you? It seems like the sort of ceiling kind of guy that you'd like to be as your first option.
That's true, Mark. And I remember after he scored 80 points for me, I said I should leave Stevie Johnson for the vice captaincy, not the captaincy. So that's a good reminder.
So my thoughts at the moment with the way my team is structured is Josh Kennedy as the vice captain, because he's got the ceiling, but he can also pop out a lot of 130 pluses. And if I got 125 plus, I'd just lock that away, I think. The backup option is Barlow against North. Doesn't have a great record against them, but it's been Mr. Consistent this year. And when you don't have Ablett as captain, picking someone that's going to guarantee you 100 plus points is something that I'm pretty interested in. Cochin had 140 odd against the Bulldogs earlier this year, so maybe he would be an option, although his scoring's been a bit lower of late.
I think that if you're okay with one of Selwood or Johnson as your captain, then you might even look at Dustin Martin.
Dusty, not a bad idea.
He's just been really explosive recently, and against the Western Bulldogs, there's opportunity for him to kick a bag of goals to go with a big lot of possessions.
We saw Swan and Pendlebury kill it against them last week, and Martin, I think, got 150 against them last time they played.
So that would probably be my other sneaky selection, Mark.
Good advice, mate. It's going to be pretty tricky this week, so it's a bit of a gamble. So it's the sort of week where you should back your own judgment here this week and try and make up some points on people.
Thoughts on Ellis, Mark? Dean asks, he's considering taking him over Birchall, Hamley and Ibbotson. So that's actually a really huge call, Mark, and I'm bringing in one of Hamley, Ibbotson or Duffield this week. So I guess that's a consideration too. Ellis, do I need to be sold on him?
Scoring has been phenomenal, and he's not going to get the tag given that there's like four or five blokes ahead of him at Richmond for that, and he's not even always playing off half back either, so that means he's probably even less likely to cop the tag. Yeah, that's one of the reasons I'm probably going to keep Boston and Goods, is they're just not going to get someone sitting on them, and they're going to avoid those really low games. So yeah, don't hate the pick. Those people that got him a lot cheaper would be loving it, and yeah, I don't think it's a terrible pick. I personally, out of the four, I would go Birchall first because he's so cheap, then Ibbotson, then Hanley, and then probably Alice. So even though I think he's not a bad pick, I'd have him ranked fourth out of them.
Yeah, me too, Mark. And that's probably just because of his scoring history. But, you know, looking at his
reputation.
Yeah, looking at his actual scores, you know, it's hard not to be sucked in. But they have so many young talent, don't they? They got Conker as well.
Just come back. Yeah.
So
you've got so much competition for points with Hooley and Marek and Cochin and Gledio and Martin. And yeah, there's a lot of players out there looking for points at Richmond.
Next question is from Lorenzo, Mark. He's asking, who do you think's more important to get in this week? Dustin Martin for McCaffer or a Jack Gledio, JPK, Joel Selwood type for the Jaeger bomb? So,
whew, tough call. If that's looking at McCaffer's your sixth forward or Jaeger is your eighth midfielder, then you'd rather have Jaeger on the field than McCaffer going forward. And Dusty could average 110 for the rest of the year. So personally, I would take Dusty in that spot.
Yeah, I think agree with you if you're completing your team, so it's one or the other for the rest of the year. If you're going to do both eventually, then I think I would probably go with JPK first because I think he's really good value this week. 554 off a couple of weak games, and it's just about bottomed out. And he's a premier player out of all five of those options, so that he would be my preference if you're getting both of them eventually.
Yeah, not bad advice there. Huh? Did we mention that we've got the number one ranked league in the entire world of Supercoach?
Yeah, we're pretty up and about on the side, aren't we, Mark?
We are a little bit up and about this week, mate, and just enjoying our moment in the sun. So Brendan has a bit more of a detailed question. Should we be protecting trades or aggressively trying to complete our teams? He says he's about to burn 5 trades over the next couple of weeks to give him 22 keepers, but it'll leave him with 3 trades for the rest of the season. Should he hold on or should he keep players like Vlosten, O'Meara, Josh Kennedy and save some trades?
That's a real tough one, Mark. And I think this year, both of us have slightly different approaches to this because you have lost in goods, whereas I've gone to an extra premium on my bench. So I guess I would go with Hanley, Selwood, Walker, but I'd say that you'd say keep with Vlosten, O'Meara, Kennedy, Mark.
I'd probably keep two of those guys and save on a couple of the trades and maybe get someone better than Selwood for that upgrade.
I think O'Meara I would trade because I want to max out my midfield points, definitely. In the forward line, Josh Kennedy, he's a forward premium. He might not be the best premium, but I certainly wouldn't be looking at Kennedy to Walker.
Averaging close to 100, I think he's second in the Coleman. Yeah, I mean, based on what we've seen from Kennedy, it'd be pretty hard to trade him out, even though I guess I did.
I mean, if you're looking at going down to three, and I mean, if he's already played his buy as well.
But I think he's going to have some extra cash, so maybe O'Meara, you could go to a JPK or someone like that instead. The next question we've got is, do we keep a spot open for Beams? I guess this comes back to that whole thing you're talking about getting the players on a sick run home. Beams is not a forward anymore.
Oh, yeah, that's right, Mark. Oh, that makes it a lot tougher. Probably no for me then.
Especially since he's so highly priced. Tomcat, the weekly winner from a couple of weeks ago, asks, is Bartel a must-have?
He's missing this week, so not this week. But I think apart from that, it's certainly looking like it. We've seen him average, I think, 120 in his Brownlow year.
Averaging 110 this year. And like he's still been performing roles. I think it just shows that he was injured last year for a lot of the year.
There's no one else in the team like getting points. We're talking about bit part players like Christensen, Motlop, Joel Corey pitching in
Stokes.
For, 80 to 100 points. But we only have a few role goal premiums like Bartel, Johnson, Selwood that are continually getting, you know, those big points. And Bartel probably got relegated throughout our more recent years. But now that, you know, we've lost a bit more talent and some of our older stars have gone down, we're a lot more reliant on Bartel and therefore he's getting a lot more of the... I mean, he's just seeing more of the ball. We're getting to enjoy his points, Mark.
Now, one question from me, mate. Joey Danaher, do you think that he can hold his spot?
I saw him on the weekend, Mark, and even I got excited.
So. It was really exciting that first half.
He's just got a massive leap and crazy agility and doesn't look gangly and awkward with his kicking style. And I'm jealous, Mark. I'm very jealous, especially because I was marveling only a couple of years ago about another young forward, Michael Hurley.
And Hawkins certainly didn't look like that after his second game. It's very exciting times down at Bomberland, just a few too many tools. So I think good chance I'll actually bring Danaher into my side this week. I know that he's not playing, so it's not really helpful, but I need to do a cash out.
Most people don't have the round 13 issues in their forward line, so yeah, that's a good call there, Mark.
But then Bartel being out could definitely create some issues in that area. Now, would you cop a donut this week?
I've set my team up to take a hit this week, and I'm trying not to get too fussed about it, Mark. I know Supercoach is a game. I'm trying to keep a bit more upbeat with it because it can be tough when you know you're in for a bad week and you just watch the scores unfold. So I'm just going
to... be a good weekend to go camping or something, Mark.
Yeah.
So cold.
Exactly. So I'm just going to go with the mindset of, you know what, I've had a good couple of weeks, I'm in the top 100, and hopefully, Mark, our rookies do well, because all we need to do is have Jackson Thurlow and Brent Staker put in a couple of good scores, and all of a sudden, we didn't lose many points from this week, and it's been a huge benefit from the last 2 weeks. So,
fair bit of luck involved at this stage. I mean, I've got teams across the competitions that are fairly similar, but you make a slightly different decision, and it has a huge effect on where they're actually going to sit this week. And then when you bring actually the luck of actual scores into play, it can make a really big difference. Yeah, there's definitely when you're riding it close to the edge, there's going to be a lot of luck involved in what happens this week.
So I hope you're not going to get too stressed on it this time. I'm sure
you know I will.
This year's bye period has been a lot more enjoyable for you than last, at least.
Yeah, I think the whole 18 players, after two rounds, it's worked for me. I'm still saying.
You notice not as many people talking about dropping off this year. In fact, I haven't really heard that. Whereas last year, it was rife with that.
Yeah, lots of casual players were really, really upset and disappointed, and I guess that's why they had to bring in some sort of change.
One thing's for sure, Mark, we'll be glad to see the end of the buys after this week. As nice
Can
as
we
it
get is. 9 games a week back, please?
Yes, it will be good.
No Bombers this week. Are you kidding me? What am I supposed to do?
Yes, and I get my beloved Cats back. So hopefully we generate a win against the Lions on the weekend. And hopefully, Mark, we hold on to number one. K Catch you guys next week.